ॐ ध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धाभाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We are learning Shankara's work of Saundarya Lahari. So we are going to learn the 47th shloka of Saundarya Lahari. So in the 46th shloka, Shankara spoke about Devi's lalatam. Lalatam lavanyam lavanya dyutivimalama bhati tavayat. So he spoke about Devi's lalatam. Lalatam or forehead. So the next thing that comes, next part of the face that comes, that's going to be discussed by Shankara, is the eyebrows, Devi's eyebrows. So the same things Lalita Sahasranama says as Vadana Smara Mangalya Grihato Orana Chillika. So that's how there it describes. Here Shankara gives a better or more beautiful interpretation. So we learned in Lalita Sahasranama that the Nama means that Devi's eyebrows are an opener to Kamadeva's house. But here, like Shankara is giving a much better description, much better like explanation of Devi's eyebrows. Here also it is with respect to Kamadeva. Because as we had discussed in Lalita Sahasranama as well, eyebrows are very important. Don't know whether we discussed or not, but eyebrows are a bit important for a person. Eyebrows are very important. Eyebrows are that which identifies a person. So that's the reason why like it is illegal to not have eyebrows. You cannot shave your eyebrows because it is illegal that way. And whenever we want to give a particular expression, we use our eyebrows. Like our eyes don't work just themselves, but eyebrows are also used. So that is, in short, the importance of eyebrows. And here Shankara's explanation is beautiful. So as usual, as the previous five shlokas that we have learned in Saundarya Lahari, this is also going to be a bit more descriptive. So like to understand, we need to have a lot of imagination. We need to get into the shoes of Shankara if we want to understand or appreciate the beauty of whatever he is explaining here. This particular shloka is set in the raga called Riti Gaula. Riti Gaula or Riti Gaulai also it is known. The shloka goes like this. Bruvau bhugne kinchit bhuvana bhaya bhanga vyasanini tvadiye नेत्राभ्यां मधुकर रुचिभ्यां धृतगुणं धनुर्मन्ये सव्ये तरकर गृहीतं रतिपते प्रकोष्ठे मुष्टौच स्थगयति निगूढान्तरमुमे। This raga, as I have explained earlier, this raga has a lot of resemblance with Ananda Bhairavi, Karahara Priya and all, but it stands out. The characteristics of the raga are entirely different One song that comes to mind, like that has been used in movies and sung by none other than Balamurali Krishna, is Chinnakannan Azhaikiran Radhaye, Avan Manam Konda Rahasiya Ragathai Paadi Chinnakannan Azhaikiran. So that's a perfect example. I don't know who composed the song. The actor in the song for the song is Shiva Kumar, but I don't know who composed, but it is a perfect, like Riti Gaula. Sagaregamani Nisa. So it's a perfect Riti Gaula Raga. And then there are like few Vinayaka or Vigneshwara's song as well, but I don't remember it. One of Amma's song is there, so that's also very interesting. It's a very beautiful song. Hariharataneya Swami Chirasukanilaya Girivaravasa Swami Ganasukarupa Hariharataneya Swami Chirasukanilaya Girivaravasa Swami Ganasukarupa Swami Sharanamayappa Sharanam Sharanamayappa Swami Sharanamayappa Sharanam Sharanamayappa. So it's a song about Ayyappa, Lord Ayyappa. It's a very beautiful song. So that is one of the song, Amma's Bhajan, out of Amma's Bhajan, which is in Riti Gavlai. So it's a very, very peculiar, we can say it's a peculiar and a particular type of raga. But the flow is so beautiful, the flow of the raga is so beautiful that like you can get completely merged into the raga or into the song which plays the raga. So Riti Gaulai is the raga name. So here Shankara is speaking about Bhruvau. Bhruvau means eyebrows, eyebrows of Devi. So Bhruvau, so before that, the last word of the shloka, Ume. So Ume means we already know, like Uma, or Ume means like Uma Devi, is called Ume. So, O Ume, O Uma Devi. Bhuvana Bhaya Bhanga Vyasanini. So, Bhuvana Bhaya, Bhuvana Bhaya. Bhaya, fear. Bhuvana means in the world. So, fear in the world. Bhanga Vyasanini. So, Bhanga Vyasanini. Bhanga means like destruction. Vyasanini, one who is engaged. So, O Devi, one who is capable, one who is engaged in destroying fear in the world, O Devi, such a Devi, kinchit bugne, bugne means like bent, so kinchit means little bit, so little bit bent, tvadiye bruvau, tvadiye means your bruvau, your eyebrows, so your eyebrows are little bit bent. So little bit bent eyebrows, O Devi. Madhukara ruchibhyam netrabhyam drita gunam. So madhukara ruchibhyam. So madhu means like honey. Madhukara means like that stands for bees, honey bees. So madhukara ruchibhyam. So ruchi, we have. Ruchi is not like in Malayalam or Tamil, we use ruchi as taste. Here, ruchi in Sanskrit means prakasham. So, shining like honeybees. So, shining like honeybees and netrabhyam drutagunam. So, netrabhyam, by the netras, by the eyes, or by your eyes, drutagunam. Like it is held or it is locked by the eyebrows. So that means like we can consider like the eyebrows as lot of honeybees, like shining or glowing honeybees, which are hold or which are like which are captivated or supported by your both your eyes. So not just that. So that is just a normal description here. So savya itakara grihitam. So like this are the eyebrows of Devi are compared here with Kamadeva. Kamadeva's bow, the bow of Kamadeva. So bow of Kamadeva, we know that bows are like bent. So the bow, we can consider bow as like two curves, two arcs, and in between there is a straight line. That is the place where we hold our hand. So savya itakara grahitam. Savya word is used in as to denote left or left hand. So savya itakara grihitam. Itakara means like hand. Grihitam, so hold it or like holding by the left hand. So the middle portion, holding by left hand. And prakoshte means, prakoshtam means like by the entire hand, or we can say wrist, we can say. And mushtau means like, mushti means like our fingers. So by the left hand, or hold it by the left hand and all the fingers of the left hand. And because of holding by the left hand, stagayati. So stagayati means like stagayati means like blocked or hidden. Niguda antam. So niguda antam means like madhyam or middle portion. So middle portion, because of stagayati, because of the left hand, the middle portion is hidden, and like such a holding, we can say that middle portion being hidden by the left hand, the wrists of the left hand. Ratipatehe danuhu of Manmatha. Ratipatehe Rati Devi is Manmatha's wife. Ratipate means the husband of Rati. Rati Devi, which means Manmatha. And Manmatha's danuhu, Manmatha's bow, manye, I consider it that way. So that means, O Devi, your eyebrows can be compared with Manmatha's bow. And when Manmatha is holding his bow, like any other person, he'll be holding to the middle portion. So the middle portion he'll be holding with his hand. Because of that, there is a gap between your eyebrows. So there are two arching is there for the eyebrows. And the middle portion, the straight portion, is as if it is hidden by Manmatha or Kamadeva. So that's a very beautiful way of putting it. It's a bit tough to explain or express it in words. It's something that we have to imagine. We have to like just close our eyes and contemplate on the shloka and try to imagine how Shankara is speaking about it. And regarding the import of Devi's eyebrows, Lalita Sahasranama, as we discussed, it speaks about removal of desires, all kamam. So Kamadeva, it is the house, like the door to the house, or door to Kamadeva, that means door to desires. That means with Devi's eyebrows, we can remove desire, we can control desire, we can remove desire. So that's the same thing that is meant here. But another added point that Shankara gives is, O Devi, you are dispeller of darkness. Bhuvana bhaya bhanga vyasanini. It's not like the fear of one person, but you are capable of destroying the fear of the entire world, all the people in the world. You are capable of doing that because your very nature is anandam. Your very nature is like udhyadbhanu sahasrabha. You are as if like 1,000 suns. Your light is as if 1,000 rising suns are there. So you are bright, so bright that He'll be able to like dispel darkness of everybody in the world. So that is the second meaning that Shankara gives. But with respect to Kama Deva is Bho. So like the meaning that we learnt in Lalita Sahasranama, or the import of removal or remover of desires. Desires will be removed or controlled by contemplating on Devi's eyebrows. Or Devi's eyebrows are helpful in removing desires. That becomes clear here. So Devi's eyebrows are the bow of Kamadeva. So that means the bow of Kamadeva. Bow of Kamadeva is what like causes us to delude in Kamam, delude into desires. We get deluded into desires when Kamadeva uses his bow and like sends out an arrow out of the bow. So that means eyebrows are the door to Kamadeva. That means eyebrows are the controlling factor of Kamadeva attacking a person. So eyebrows means Devi's eyebrows are essential if we need to have any desires. Desires are caused out of the bow of Kamadeva, which is Devi's eyebrows. So if we contemplate on Devi, if we remember this, that Devi's eyebrows are the bows of Kamadeva, are the, sorry, not the bows, I'm sorry, bow of Kamadeva, then we will be able to overcome desires. We can very easily get rid of desires. We can overcome desires. We can be without desire or desireless state. We can be in that state if we remember this, because Devi's eyebrows are compared to Kamadeva's bow. Like if we have if we remember this, then Kamadeva will not be able to afflict us with kamam, afflict us with desire. So desire remover, or remover of desire, or removal of desire is what is the fruit of worshipping Devi's eyebrows, because Devi's eyebrows are compared to the bow of Kamadeva. So we should also remember that, like, it's very, very good, and it's advisable to remember this Vedantic import from each and every aspect of Devi, lest we get deluded. So the ultimate goal to be achieved all through all this, through description of Devi's form, is formless Brahman. That Brahman, or that Devi who is present everywhere, that Devi who alone is present here, that is the goal. And in order for us to achieve that state, or get into that state where we see everything as Devi, we need Devi's form. Majority of the people need Devi's form. Therefore, we need to describe Devi's form. So while contemplating on Devi's form, if we are able to remember Brahman, and the easiest way to do that, easiest ways to remember Vedanta while contemplating on Devi's form, is giving Devi's form, or each and every aspect of Devi's form, a Vedantic interpretation. If we do it that way, the moment we see that person, we'll remember it. It's like telling, the moment we see Bill Gates, or the moment we see Steve Ballmer, we'll know that Microsoft, because are like the import or the meaning of Bill Gates itself means Microsoft. That is how we interpret. Narayana Murthy means Infosys. That's a known thing. So the moment we see a person, we have an import. We have something mapped to the person. If we have that, the moment we see the person or the thing, the mapping will immediately come like into our mind. We will remember the mapping. That is the goal. So if we remember that everything is one Devi, and the goal of contemplation of Devi's form is realization that everything is Devi, there is only Devi here. If we have to do that, then the simplest or the easiest way to do it is to give a Vedantic import to each and every aspect of Devi. Desires, or getting rid of desires, means getting rid of ignorance. Getting rid of ignorance means realization or jnanam. So Ramana Maharshi used to say that desirelessness is God. Or if we have to become Ishvara, we have to just get rid of desires. So getting rid of desires means moksha or realization. Realization is what? realization is that there is only one entity here. Either term it Devi or term it Brahman or Vishnu or Krishna or Atman or I, whatever way we term it, it is only one entity. That is the goal. And that goal can be very easily achieved through contemplation as well as knowledge. So when contemplation, along with contemplation, we have knowledge attached to it, associated to it, that, oh, this helps in removing desire. Along with that, if we are able to remember Vedantic import of each and every aspect of Devi's form, then it is inevitable to remember Devi as Brahman. So we cannot but remember Devi as Brahman, because Vedantic import, wherever we bring in Vedanta, Devi becomes one with Nirguna Brahman, Devi becomes one with Advitiya Brahman, Devi becomes one with all pervasive Brahman. And if we have such a knowledge as well as Vedantic import of each and every aspect of Devi along with contemplation, then the day is not far when we will be totally realized, or we will be completely realized. There is no complete realization. It's only from the ignorant perspective that we say partly realized, because the self is always there, but still I don't know it, therefore I am partly realized. There is no partly or completely realized state. There is only realization and ignorance. We are in between. We are going from ignorance to realization. So if we remember these Vedantic imports as well as the truth of Devi, or the essential nature of Devi as Advitiya Brahman, one reality alone, then the day is not far when we will realize our own nature of Devi through contemplation as well as knowledge. We'll continue with the next shloka in the next day. Namah Shivaya.